Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. Laura Camrath, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. So Big Ideas Small Business, we like to work with entrepreneurs, business owners, thought leaders, and take a big idea that they had and try to gain inspiration, knowledge. And today we've brought on John Sage. How are you, John?
I'm doing great.
John, thanks for joining us. So John is the founder and president of Accessible Travel Solutions here in Houston, Texas. And become a pretty good friend of mine and a really savvy entrepreneur and business owner. And so one of the things that we're going to do with John today is learn about his journey. And like I said, hopefully you gain some inspiration. And you're going to drop some knowledge on us today, John?
I will do my best.
I think you're going to do great. But to get started, one of the things we like to do is we like to have a fun fact about all our guests. So Laura, you know anything interesting about John?
I mean, John's got some pretty amazing experiences, it sounds like, but he told me about one that involved Belgium, a hand crank bicycle, and a whole bunch of hotel stays.
Yeah, that was just a couple weeks ago, and it was on my bucket list to bring my hand cycle and ride between European towns, and so I was able to do that, and it was attached to some business trips that I had, and so I stayed in 8 different hotels in 11 nights. That was probably a record for me.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love those kind of vacations that are, I mean, I'm a real physical vacation kind of person too. I love the, you know, cycling, scuba diving, stuff like that, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
So speaking of Belgium and speaking of traveling, you've got some pretty amazing stuff that you do in your business. Tell us about a big idea that you had and how you ended up building a business where you can travel the world.
So starting from the beginning. My story is during my 20s, I was working as an engineer for ExxonMobil, and European travel was my hobby. And it was hugely time-consuming to plan every trip that I went on, to find out all the accessibility details and which neighborhood should I stay in and what's the accessible public transportation system and which attractions are accessible and everything. And so after I visited a place, I thought to myself, well, now that I've done it, one, I would have done it differently, but two, I can do this for somebody else. And I took a trip with some friends, and afterwards they said, oh, you should be the disabled Rick Steves. You should write a book. I said, well, I don't know if I want to write a book, but I'll start a website and see if I can make some advertising dollars. So I did that, and in a year I made $100, which was not hardly enough to pay for the website domain. And so after a year, I transformed it into, I didn't know anything about the travel industry, but I said, hey, if you pay me some money, I'll plan a trip for you. And it sort of started from there. And then there's been a lot of growth since.
And to give us an understanding of timelines, how long ago was that when you made that first $100?
That was, let's see, I guess it was maybe 9 years ago, something like that.
And you knew nothing about the travel industry, nothing about running a business, and you didn't have really exposure to
it? No. I was a petroleum engineering major and didn't know anything about travel agents and travel agencies. And didn't really take much business classes. And so, no, it was just this idea of, hey, hire me to do something that I know how to do.
Right. And it's the story that can really be inspiring to say, hey, I like to travel. It's one of my hobbies. And how do I, or is it even possible for this to be a business? And it sounds like you kind of got talked into it. It wasn't necessarily something that was on your radar.
Yeah, it was. I thought maybe I could make a little bit of money, and it'd be something fun and helpful to people. And then as the years have gone by, we've just continued to grow, and and help more and more disabled people to be able to travel to more and more destinations.
Yeah, so when you started, it was a side hustle at best, something to complement your career at Exxon and travel.
Yeah, it wasn't. So it was after 2 years of working on the business part-time, and part-time it certainly felt like full-time because I was working nights and weekends to build this. By the time I worked on it for 2 years, and by the time I left, I had two full-time employees, and my wife and I, we'd saved up enough money where we said, okay, I can go chase this dream for 2 years, and if it doesn't work, I'll happily go back to being an engineer. And so that was 8 years ago.
Terrific. So no turning back, Laura.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. So tell us a little about, you kind of started this as a hobby and without a whole lot of business experience. What were some of the challenges you might have faced along the way?
Yeah, it was tough to figure out everything. I mean, I knew accessible travel. That was the thing that I knew. But then, you know, how do I pay employees? How do I file taxes? How do I set up an LLC? There's all these sort of small business questions, you know, and where do I find the answers for all these things? And so that was some of the challenges. You know, how do I protect myself, legally and, accounting and all these things. And so that's been a challenge. And I think we're finally getting over the hump for a lot of those things. One of the resources that was a big help for me starting out was the University of Houston Small Business Development Center, located in Midtown Houston. And so they were a huge help. And actually, it was their internet marketing class that if I would not have attended that free class every other Wednesday, it never would have gotten off the ground because I wouldn't have understand how to rank in search engines.
So that's one of my favorite parts of John's story is your resourcefulness early on and using resources that are around you. Because SBDC, although that class probably cost you a little bit, it wasn't much compared to the value that you got out of it.
Yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of free services there.
Yeah.
And that's where I knew John from. So I do work at the SBDC, and he mentioned it's here in Houston, but this is all over the country, these small business development centers. And John's on the wall down there.
Yeah.
Okay. So John and I met through the 40 under 40 HBJ thing. I'm like, how do I know this guy? And sure enough, like every time I go to the restroom when I'm at that facility,
yeah.
I'm walking by the picture of John.
I'm watching you.
Yeah. So that was a key resource early on. And for anybody thinking about starting a business, turning a hobby to a business, that's a free resource that's probably in your city already, mm-hmm. and certainly here in Houston. So what other challenges did you encounter?
So that was finding employees, definitely initially, because I didn't even know what the job was and what characteristics to look for and how, what questions to ask in an interview and all these things. And so that was really sort of a lot of trial and error. We had our staff is fairly unique. So because I was building this on the side, and I didn't have any loans or money to start to pay office rent or anything like that. We started up at all working from home. You know, my very first employee is working from home. And she was recommended to me by a friend. And she lived north of Fort Worth in a small town named Sanger. And this is before we had set up video conference capabilities or anything. So I didn't even know what she looked like for the first 3 months. But she was doing a great job. She's now one of our supervisors, and so to identify a team was, we learned a lot, but we from the very beginning we were home based, and one of the things that we figured out is that there are a lot of women who appreciate work from home jobs, and they're very talented and very skilled, and they don't want to do a commute and a wardrobe and office politics and all these things, so we have. We have now, I think there's 13 or 14 employees, and only two of us are men, and so that's not by design, but we post this job and we explain what it entails and what the benefits are, which does include some travel. We've got one of our employees is escorting a group on a Western Mediterranean cruise right now.
Nice.
And she and her husband are paid for, and so that's there's a nice benefit there. But yeah, and we had to, so we're home base, but we also, because we do a lot of European destinations, we got pretty tired pretty quick of drivers calling at 9 a.m. saying, I can't find the guest, I can't find the client, because that's 2 a.m. in Houston.
Right.
And so we had to work, and there was a bunch of trial and error there, finding team members in European time zones. So we where we ultimately landed is we had a tour guide we'd worked with for a while in Estonia, and we actually use him to hire contractors in Estonia and Belarus, and that's where we have some team members right now.
Wow. Multi-continent work from home team.
Yeah.
That sounds like the dream job.
with really great benefits.
Yeah.
Like, how many people would not like to build a business like John has?
So what are the challenges with that? So it sounds like there's a lot of perks, and you're finding good talent, but there's got to be some challenges with managing a mobile team.
Yeah, just getting everything. So on the technology side, one of the things that I say one of my strongest skills that I took away from ExxonMobil was my spreadsheet skills. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty darn good in Excel. So we manage everything through a bunch of spreadsheets and a bunch of dashboards, and I can compare week to week numbers and year on year numbers and targets versus actuals. And I've got it broken down by about 11 different business segments. And so we can really identify which parts of the business are doing well and which parts are not. And if a part of the business is not doing well, okay, well, is it because of the employee? Is it because of marketing? Is it because of competition? Is it something else? And so one of the things with working from home is people ask, well, how do you supervise those people? How do you make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do? And it's like, well, we give each person an area of responsibility and we track it really close. And we know if through the numbers and through client complaints if somebody's not getting the job done. And so that's something that we had to develop over time, and it did take some work, but we've got a really strong team right now.
So a lot of data-driven decisions. That spreadsheet sounds pretty valuable though, man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You got backup and hopefully you got several backups.
Automatic backup, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about some of the successes you've had. What would you say is your biggest success, or what would be your successes in general that you've had in your business?
Yeah, I'd say the first is that we help people with disabilities to travel and have amazing vacations with their families. I mean, that's just a pretty cool thing to be able to do. And then that's very rewarding, and all of our employees appreciate that they're working on something that is very rewarding and appreciated. And then, getting the initial business set up, the initial business was sagetraveling.com, which was a B2C company. And we expanded, we added another website called AccessibleCaribbeanVacations.com that was also B2C. But we kept on getting requests from travel agents that they needed help. So we built an entire other business called Accessible Travel Solutions for a B2B company. So that's been successful with travel agents, and then most recently with the cruise lines, which is really ramping up right now, and that's been one of our most exciting really projects we've been working on, is our partnerships with the cruise lines.
One of my favorite things that you share with me is that you really hadn't had to be a salesperson, or at least a B2B salesperson, so you had to train yourself. What'd you do to train yourself to?
Yeah, so I'm an engineer, so I'm a problem solver. I work in spreadsheets, and so in order to go and talk with these travel agencies and talk with these cruise lines, I had to figure out how to sell our services and describe the value that we provide. So I leaned on a resource. I said, all right, I got to figure this out. I need to learn this. So one of my friends manages a team of salespeople. They sell carpet to big commercial places. So he's the sales guru that's worked on it for a decade and is just a sales guru. So we sat down and he recommended a book to me. He recommended The Challenger Sale. And so I've read that and studied it and took notes and thought through it. He recommended that, and he helped me put together a slide deck, a PowerPoint presentation that I could bring into the cruise lines.
The pitch deck.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and it was, a lot of it was based on this book, The Challenger Sale, and the knowledge that I had, and my familiarity with accessible travel, what disabled travelers need, what the challenges are that the cruise lines are facing. And it's been, every time I present it, I incorporate the feedback and I tweak it a little bit, but it's getting to the point now where I can present this presentation about 30 minutes and I get a yes at the end of it. So it works pretty well.
So what's your conversion rate?
Yeah, I've never heard no. There are there's six cruise lines that we expect contracts with by the end of this year.
Terrific.
And there's a couple more that, you know, these big cruise lines have a lot of projects, and so I've never heard no. Some have gotten deferred, but once they hear that we have contracts with six cruise lines, they'll come around.
Yeah.
It's competitive.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So what are you going to, how does this go now that you're expanding into this cruise line? What does that mean for you? Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but to be honest, we've spent so many years doing a bunch of customized trips. So somebody wants to visit Rome, Florence, Venice for 10 days. Yeah. And you know, they want this type of hotel and they want to go on these dates. And that's a national holiday, so we need to make some adjustments. And I want to go see the Vatican on Wednesday. No, I want to see it on Tuesday. No, I want to see it on Wednesday. And so there's all these back and forths. So we've done a lot of customization over the years. What's really nice about the cruise lines is we just need to come up with one accessible itinerary in each port and just run it over and over and over again. And so there's a whole lot of efficiency there. And we can not only do the same tour for a Royal Caribbean, we can also do it for a Norwegian and a Disney, and so we just do it.
The ports don't change, just the cruise lines.
Yeah, and also it's, you know, when we've been doing tours, it's okay, well, which hotel are they staying at? And with the shore excursions, it's the cruise port. The meetup point is always the cruise port, and we know a year in advance what date the ship is going to be in, and so there's not, they can't tell us, no, I want to do it Tuesday or Wednesday or Tuesday. That doesn't go back and forth. Your ship's in port on Tuesday. That's the date of the tour. And so it is a lot of work to get set up, but we think once it really gets set up that it can be quite efficient to manage all these reservations.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I can see how that kind of cuts out some of the uncertainty of it. And, you know, lets you build efficiencies. And I think that kind of applies to a lot of businesses is how do you figure out how to build efficiencies into your business? Like for my line of business, I do digital marketing. You know, part of what we do or what helps us is productizing our services. So, yeah, we do, you know, a lot of custom type services, but we can actually build our services, you know, productize them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think for everybody, just figuring out how to build efficiencies into your business so we can all make more money and basically have less headaches.
Yeah. So are you going to be dedicating new resources to this line of business and scaling that way, or are you going to, and, you know, shifting from existing resources? How's that?
No, we're going to maintain what we've always done, the customized trips. We're going to maintain that. That's, I mean, once it's profitable, it's beneficial. You know, we built this network of local tour guides and transportation companies and hotels that we work with. We're able, through that company, to get a lot of direct feedback from disabled travelers. Mm-hmm. And we can tweak things, we can try out new things. So it's hugely valuable for us to maintain that, and that's not diminishing at all. We're just sort of ramping up this other business segment for the cruise lines. And so the only products that we sell the cruise lines are ones that have been not only almost always tested by me, but also tested by, and I use a manual wheelchair, tested by mobility scooter users and slow walkers and people with all sorts of accessibility needs. So it is, you know, our goal is that it's a extremely reliable, accessible for all experience.
Are those on your staff? Are these lucky people that you pay for their trips on scooters and to have these experiences? Who tests those?
No, so I was in the Bahamas yesterday, actually, checking out. We have a new supplier, and we were trying to tweak our itinerary to make it a little more appealing. And so we found a pirate museum there that we think is going to be really popular for families. So we're going to add that instead of the distillery, because the families might not want to go to rum distillery. So
I do.
Yeah. So we try to. So I've been to a lot of the places, at least to understand. But we have sent some employees on research trips, as it does take them a while to really understand what research needs to be done. So the employee we sent last year, she'd been with us for, I think, 4 years before we sent her on a research trip.
Do you guys hire disabled employees by practice or
not? No, we haven't yet. We haven't yet. It's not something that we've necessarily, taken into account. So, but it's not necessary. So we're
discriminating.
No, we definitely wouldn't want to do that. Our training's just gotten to be very good over the years, and so we've focused on how efficiently can we bring somebody on board and get them up to speed, and we're able to do that fairly efficiently.
So training is a big part of your organization.
Absolutely. So we've only, out of all of our employees, none of them had industry experience except for one. She had worked as a travel agent. She handles our cruise bookings now. We've had to bring some. And including myself, I was never in the travel industry. So we've had to train sort of the person following behind us.
Well, that's great. So you mentioned the Challenger sale. Is there any other books or anything else that's guided you along the way, or even just resources? I mean, you mentioned UHSBDC.
Yeah, the other one. So SBDC was hugely helpful getting started and getting sort of the B2C company going. But then when I needed to move into the B2B area that was going to involve negotiation and contracts, and how do I set up possible partnerships or commissions or all these different ways of structuring things, then I leaned on an organization called SCORE. It's Service Corps of Retired Executives. Mm-hmm. And they have these business mentors that are former business executives. And so I've got a mentor there, and it's funded by the SBA. It's free, and so when I have a challenging sort of business to business or business strategy thing that I need to think through, particularly sort of navigating threats and opportunities or the industry, we meet for lunch, and he sits down and sort of listens to what I have to say and helps me think through some of these things and give some advice. Based on experience he's had, he's been doing this mentoring for 10 years, and I have the same mentor every time. And so that's been hugely successful as I sort of figure out how to negotiate with cruise lines and manage that.
Have you ever heard of SCORE? It's another national organization. They've got over 150 of them here in Houston. It might have gone up since the last time I looked. It sounds like you lucked out. I aligned to a mentor that didn't really work out, and then I kind of dropped it. But
yeah, I think that was my concern before even starting is this a right fit? Is this somebody that has experience? And he didn't have travel industry experience, but he had been part owner in three different oil and gas service companies and mentored for 10 years, and we just sort of had a personal connection as well. And so it's been really beneficial when I've needed the help.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, though, just finding the right mentor as you're growing your business. I know I tried a number of different things or people or organizations to help me with mentorship in my business before I really found the right one. But mentorship, I think, because if you're doing it new, there's always usually somebody who's done something similar or has some sort of experience to draw from that can help.
Yeah, that's what I think. I pride myself in acknowledging that I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And so if I can identify the area, my weaknesses or my areas of where I don't have any experience or knowledge, And then if I know what those are, I can go find some help. But if I don't know where those are, then I make mistakes.
It's a really valid point. Understand your blind spots, your weaknesses, and then that's where you bring in outside counsel. That might be where you hire an employee, those types of things. So, again, I admire your resourcefulness and humility. Being able to say, this isn't an area I'm strong. I'm a spreadsheet guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of that, outside of Microsoft Excel, is there any other apps or things that make your life easier, you're more efficient at work?
So the spreadsheet that we use is actually Google Sheets. And the advantage of it is that multiple people can be in it and modifying it at once. And it automatically backs up and everything like that. So that's what we use. And we use Google Drive to be able to share documents and all work remotely, and again, all that's backed up. We haven't had to use too much technology. We do have a booking software that's very travel industry specific, but there's not too much on the technology side that's really unique. We just we got really familiar with the accessibility of the local destinations, and that was really a key.
Do you use apps on your phone a lot? Are there any accessibility apps or anything out there that's interesting?
No, there have been some, and that's one of the things that we look for is sort of threats. You know, that there are, but I've heard of multiple sites that have billed themselves as being TripAdvisor for people with disabilities, and none of them have necessarily gotten off the ground. The crowdsourcing is difficult, particularly because people with disabilities are not all the same. And so if you say something's accessible, that means one thing to one person and an entirely different thing to another person. Mm-hmm. And if you start relying on people that don't have disabilities to start judging a place, if it's accessible for somebody else that they don't know, you can get some really bad information out there. And so we don't really rely on that information. We prefer to visit ourselves firsthand and have a more reliable product.
And the standards got to vary from country to country. Like if I were to say, what's a really accessible country? Or let me ask you this, U.S., how do we stack up compared to
U.S. others? is excellent. I was actually just at a conference in Brussels called Destinations for All, and a lot of the Europeans were really sort of envious of because of the Americans with Disabilities Act that was in the early 90s. A lot of things is codified into our building codes. And that alone goes a long way. European countries, some of them, many of them do have some building standards, but a lot of it can be sort of exempted if it's historic or grandfathered in and everything. And so they're not just by their nature of being very old cities, they're not as accessible as a lot of United States cities.
Yeah, I remember traveling in London a couple of years ago and trying to take the subway with my suitcase and having to drag it up a whole bunch of stairs, there.
Yep.
And just thinking, there's really not another solution here.
Yeah. So in London, what we typically recommend is to use the accessible bus system instead of the underground, although the underground is going through a major renovation. They're trying to install elevators in every stop. Mm-hmm. Now, again, some of those elevators will be not functional from time to time, and that can create a problem. So what's your backup plan if you arrive at an underground station and can't get to the surface? And so we help figure out and manage those issues.
Yeah, awesome.
Very good, John. Yeah. Well, that's just an incredible story, an incredible journey. We love it when anybody can take a passion like that and turn it into a legitimate business and then take that legitimate business into a worldwide empire. And it's really a worthy cause, too. Like you said, at the end of the day, y'all are providing great travel accommodations, solutions for people with disabilities, which is just there's a good place in the world for that. So
maybe one day I'll take my mom on one of your vacations.
My
mom's got two hip replacements, two knee replacements, and a shoulder replacement.
Yep, we have a lot of those clients that just walk a little slower or don't want to be able to have to step up four steps into a bus for every tour.
Well, as we get wrapped up, John, can you just tell our audience where they can find you and find your company?
Yeah, so for disabled travelers going to Europe, it's sagetraveling.com. And we will be adding some Alaska destinations to that. And then for disabled travelers going to the Caribbean, it's accessiblecaribbeanvacations.com. Mm-hmm. And then for business-to-business solutions, it's accessibletravelsolutions.com.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, thanks again for being on, and thank you all for listening in.
Yeah, y'all... thanks so much, John. It was great meeting you. Yeah.
All right. Y'all get out there and close some business.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.